week we have actually contracted Perek Hay and Perek Vav and Perek Zayin, and we discussed, if you recall, the position of the Radak relating to the site, the location, which is called Eben HaEzer. And now what I'd like to do, after we have done that contrast, I'd like to go through the Psukim themselves, starting, let's say, with Perek Dalet, Pasuk Hay. Go through the Psukim individually. Till now we've done an overall kind of contrast, and we've examined, we explored actually the malady, I guess I can call it that, the ailment, which affected Klal Yisrael in terms of how they view the Aron HaKodesh, as opposed to the force that is Omein Machareha Aron HaKodesh, the Ha'inu Ribono Shel Olam. And now I want to just go to the individual Psukim, which we have not done. And then we'll just start from the beginning again. Vayivash Muel Echol Yisrael, Vayisay Yisrael Lekra Plishtim HaMilchala, Vayachadu Alev Na'ezer, Plishtim Chadu Ba'afek, Vayachu Plishtim Lekra Yisrael, Vayitosh HaMilchala, Vayinag Yed Yisrael Lefnei Plishtim, Vayakub Marachah Vasadeh Ki Abad Alachim Ish. Vayavohu Amel Amachaneh Vayimuz Lefnei Yisrael, Lama Vigafanu Hashem Ayom Lefnei Plishtim. As we discussed last week. Likho Elenu Mishilot Avon Bit Hashem, Vyavo Bikiveinu, Yoshienu Mikaf Oyveinu. This will be the salvation. וישלח עם שילו ויסו משם את ארון בית השם צבא קודש עם הקרובים ושם שני בני אלי עם ארון בית האלוקים וחפני ופנחס ויהי כדו ארון בית השם על המחנה ויוביל כל ישראל תרועה גדולה ותהום הארץ. So all the פרשני המקרא are all in this language, the language of ויוביל כל ישראל תרועה גדולה. And the Midrash has a comment here and notes that באותה שעה, הביאו כל יסוד תרועה גדולה שאין בה ממש. A תרועה that has no foundation, no basis. Because generally speaking, we find in Tanakh, the language of תרועה, for example, you find, let's say, בשעת המלחמה, when they're going out to war, as we see the Psukim in Bamidbar, just for a moment, you'll see in Bamidbar, Parsha Balotho, we have the whole Parsha that deals with the Chatzotzot. And there, in Perek, Yud, Pasuk Tet, the Torah tells us there is a notion of sounding the Torah, as mentioned over here, the obligation of Moshe was told, "Asei lecha shtei chatzotzot kesef," and the functions are the mikra ha'ida ulemasa ha'machanot. And a bit later, Pasuk Tet, the chitavo nuchama b'yarzachem al tzar ha'torah etzem la'ariyotel lechatzotzot. V'nizkatem v'nei Hashem elokecha v'noshatem elokechem. So here's one function of Truah, Chatzotzot, for the purpose of Yeshua, the Eid Melchama. And we also have, for example, you have in Sefer Yeshua, the very beginning, also the use of the Truah in the context of the Kibush Yericho. In Perek Vav of Sefer Yeshua, there again you see the use of the Truah. They will just start from Perek Vav, Pasuk. בבית וישכם ישוע בבוקר ויישאו הכהנים את ארון השם ושבע הכהנים נושאים שבע שופרות היובים בפני ארון השם הולכים הלוך ותגעו בשופרות והחלוץ הולך בהם והמעשה הולך הכל ארון השם הלוך ותגע בשופרות ויסוגו את העיר ביום השביעי פעם אחת וישוב המחנה כה עשו ששת ימים ויהי ביום השביעי וישכימו קהלות השחר ויסוגו את העיר כמשפט הזה שבע פעמים רק ביום ההוא סוגו את העיר שבע פעמים ויהי בפעם השביעי תקעו הכהנים בשופרות ויאמר ישוע לעם הריעו כי נתן השם בכם את העיר. והייתה העיר חרם, היא וכל אשר בא לשם, רק רחב הזונה, תחיה, היא וכל אשר איתה בבית, היא החבאתה את המלאכים אשר שלחתם. ורק אתם שמו מנחם, אתם תחפים ולוקחתם מנחם, ושמתם את מחנה יסודכם, ואחתם אותו, וכל כסף וזהב ותן כל שברזל קודש הוא לשם, ורוצה השם יבוא, and again, וירא העם, ויתקו בשופרות, ויהי, כי שמע העם את כל השופר, והעיר העם תרועה גדולה, והכיפול החומה תחתיה. והיה לעם העיר האיש נגדו, ולכדו את העיר. Again, here we have a תרועה, which is essentially at the moment of conquest, ואין כיבושה. The עיר יריחו, here we have a תרועה with a particular function. But here we have a פסוק, back in, again, we're now in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Dalet. Shmuel Aleph, Perek Dalet, פסוק ה. Here the פסוק says, ויריחו כל יסר תרועה גדולה, but the whole Aretz, there's absolutely no function to the Torah whatsoever. even in English, I was looking to see the translation of the, how would you translate this throughout? In the context over here of this pasuk. Vayariyu kol Yisrael tzurah gdola, vatehom haaretz.
It's a rallying cry.
Yeah, it seems to be a kind of rallying cry. But again, even, for example, the Torah that I mentioned at the very outset, which is the one of Pasha Baloto, which is also quoted by Rambam. Rambam is Hilchot Taniyot, a very famous Rambam. Rambam has a concept that there's a mitzvah of Tfilah min HaTorah. The Rambam's position happens to be that Tfilah is min HaTorah. All the Rishonim disagree with the Rambam. However, the Rambam also has another concept, namely that Be'ed Zaka, Be'ed Sarah, there's an obligation to go ahead and Lizok Aleha. The Rambam writes it, Davar Zeh Medakeh Tshuva, beginning of Hilchot Taniyot, Perek Alteh. The Rambam says, Davar Zeh Medakeh Tshuva, שבזמן שתבוא צרה ויזעקו עליה, they are real. I think that's the language of the Rambam, if I'm not mistaken. Then he writes, ידוע הכל שבגלל מעשיהם הרעים הוא רע להם, משהו כזה. The Rambam says over there, again, the whole idea is a tshuva, which is, in effect, a kiyum in tshuva. And here, this tshuva is literally, I would call it, maybe that's what you call the rallying cry, I would call it tshuva nitzachon al lo davar. Not the shame tshuva, not the shame, leizu tzarech. And interesting, because right before that, if you recall the pasuk that we just read, the pasuk Gimel, after 4,000 of them are killed, and right away the question they raise is, Lama megapano Hashem ayom ufei toshim? Why were we routed? What's the cause actually? What's the source of this situation? We don't find any attempt on their part, any pish-push, any mishmush from Masayim, which would be the normal reaction. They should do some introspection and take stock of what happened. No, instead, what do? They go ahead and decide, oh, we have a talisman that will solve our problem, namely the Aron Hashem. The Aron B'it Hashem will go and invoke the aid of the Aron B'it Hashem, and that will resolve all our issues. That's the panacea for all our problems. And what did that do? That actually simply brought about a further deterioration of the situation, the matzav. I mean, essentially what happened was, and that's what the Midrash says, the Midrash quotes the pasuk actually Yirmiyah, where the Navi says, let's find the pasuk in Yirmiyah itself, if you look at the Sefer Yirmiyahu, you'll see in the, I guess the Perek Bet, in the 12th chapter of Yirmiyahu, the Navi comments, this and the Midrash interprets this throughout that I just began with. Perek Bet, Pasuk Ched. No. Where is it? Oh, here it is, I'm sorry. Yeah, Perek Bet, Pasuk Ched. Haytali nachlati kareh bayar, natna alai bekola al kein tzneitia. The Midrash takes the end of the pasuk and applies it to this situation. Natna alav bekola al kein tzneitia. The Almighty says that you go ahead and issue this blood-curdling kind of shriek, and what does it lead to? It engenders simply a response to the thought of the Almighty, which is one of sinna, one of animosity. It's very interesting. You have something perhaps of a similar nature, and maybe I'm not comparing the two. If you recall, also in the Rishonim, actually, the Parshanim Mikra speak a lot about this. In Parsha B'Shalach, we have a situation where Am Yisrael is rather beleaguered. In front of them we have the Yam, behind them we have the Mitzrayim pursuing them relentlessly, and the Torah there also describes a similar kind of reaction on the part of Am Yisrael. Take a look in Shemot, in Parsha B'Shalach. And I only mention this because of a very fascinating Rashi that all the Rishonim quickly jumped on. In Perek Yudalid of Shemot, Parsha B'Shalach, the Torah says, let's start from Pasuk Tet. Vayidafu Mitzrayim achareihem, Perek Yudalid, in Bishalach and Shemot, Pasuk Tet. Vayidafu Mitzrayim achareihem, vayasigu otam chodim al hayam, kol sus vechem paro, ufarashah vechilo al piach yirot vei bal tzor. Paro akrib, vayisu bnei yisur at aneim, vayinei Mitzrayim nosei achareihem, vayiru meod, which was an obvious reaction, one of fear, one of fright, and the reaction, miyad, vayitzaku bnei yisur l'ashem. Now this tzaka would seem to be, again, a natural type of response to the So first of all, we showed them a very trouble. This Vayamuel Moshe, this part of the Tzaka, or this is a separate statement, seemingly it could be interpreted either way. Either Vayitzaku B'Nisrael L'Hashem, that's number one, Tfilah Tzaka to Hashem, and then beyond that, there's a dialogue with Moshe Rabbeinu, and the dialogue is very fascinating. Mm-hmm. without that Mitzrayim, Kitovana, Avada Mitzrayim, Nimutayim, Avada Mitzrayim. This is not exactly what I would say in sync with Tfilah or Bitachon at the highest level. That's an understatement of the year. If anything, this is a negation of that. So Rishon point out that Rashi has the following comment on that pasuk that we began with, namely, Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael Hashem. Rashi should have said, Vayitzaku translated, what is the word Vayitzaku? Hitpalu. They launched or they engaged in heartfelt tefillah, says Rashi. No, Rashi says, Tafsu umanut avotam. It's the only time Rashi in Chumash uses such a language. Tafsu umanut avotam, which means, what do? They simply opened up the faucet. Because this was a kind of instinctive, knee-jerk kind of reaction, kind of gut reaction to a situation where they find themselves beleaguered. And else, what is Rashi telling us? The tefillah clearly, Mashu era chaser, mashu lakui, mashu pagu. It was lacking. It was not itzilav imamakim, imamaki alei. It was simply, if you will, second nature, instinctive for them to go ahead and turn on the faucet. And the proof is what follows. Look at the language that they speak to Mashu Rabbeinu. Tovlanu avodah mitzvayim imutena b'midbar. And Mashu's reaction is also fascinating. Hashem ilachem lachem, yatem tachavishun. Now I see this passage now. I am reminded, you probably agree with it. Shabbat Tachrishun. Shabbat Tachrishun. I was told by chaverim of mine who are Rabbonim Chutz Laretz. There's a major problem in many shuls where there are people, especially at Shabbatot, who unfortunately are constantly talking in shul. And in a major effort to curb the issue, or to somehow deal with it, not resolve it, but deal with the issue, so they declared that one Shabbat a year is called Shabbat Tachrishun. Mm-hmm. So now I see the pasuk. Machaber, they told me about this. I just didn't stop laughing. I was laughing for months. I didn't know how to deal with it. That Shabbat, Shabbat, Chag Rishona, it's Pasha B'Shalach. They call it Shabbat Chag Rishon. And it's around to you, maybe you don't have a problem. But
we're called the Quiet Minion now.
That's true. Shabbat Chag Rishon, essentially that's Shabbat, you're quiet. I said, so I asked Machaber, what about the rest of the year?
Right.
So they told me, Halavai, Pamacha B'Shalach.
That's right.
Halavai once a year. We are Zohar to this.
It was one man's...
One person
in Elizabeth.
And it's spread like wildfire. It's all over New York.
Well, because he published the whole, he got people write articles and they published and distributed in all the shows.
So
that's like the owe you to buy into it.
Wouldn't it be a more proper, a more appropriate approach to be Mechanech Et Anashim regarding what Tefillah is all about and what exactly we're doing, why we're engaged in this activity? So he told me, Atinekach. That's what you want. I mean, this is a very prominent. I have three chavim, one of the biggest shuls in New York City, hundreds and hundreds of balabatim. And the wonderful rabbi, the family of Dati, not because the chaver of mine, they happen to be very fine rabbis, and they told me it's impossible. It's a situation which is absolutely out of control, unconscionable for many years and years. And it's very difficult to maintain any kind of decorum, unfortunately. Anyway, the only reason why I mentioned that, there also we have a tzaka that seems to be a tzaka that is, to a large extent, belied by that which follows. The nature of this tzaka, and that's why Rashi, the one who says this is the Gur Aryeh. The Maral, that's a Duke in Rashi. That's why Rashi does not say Hitpalulu or Zaku, but rather Tafsu Manut Avotam. It was just a natural kind of instinctive gut reaction, but it was not real. Tefillah was not heartfelt, it was not sincere, not authentic. And here again, the Midrash, back again in Shmuel Aleph Yeh, Peredala, Midrash has a similar comment on this Pasuk. And they reply the Pasuk Yemiyo, Natna Allah Bikola, Al Kains Netia. Dafka, because of the nature of this tefillah, which is clearly lacking in its genuineness and its authenticity, therefore the reaction of Hashem, of course, is a very negative one. So let's continue.
Can we assume that Yisachar tzorot him?
The truth is, there's no indication, just by a real Kol Yisrael, it's Rav Dola. So you don't really know. What did the Rishonim say?
To
buy
the
views
for that one, else
for
the views.
Yeah, I would assume that as well. I just assume that to me was also a gut reaction.
But here in the Targum,
what does it say?
It wasn't. It was. Where is it? All Israel shouted with a great shout. There's no Tuaga.
No, but the language of Tuaga. See, yeah. it could very well mean what you said. That's just a shout. It's a shout of. How shall we put it? I guess I put it the following way, a shout of glee, uh-huh. A shout of
relief.
Excitement,
relief.
Or relief, perhaps you might say. It's not clear. I hear what you're asking. It's a good hara. I suspect probably it's machloket at the end of the day.
Wouldn't it be
exactly whether a glee was used, or simply, as you indicated, somehow shout of exclamation. So here he writes, again, the Targum is not, the Targum of the time, he writes, Kol Yivava Rabba. That's what he speaks about. Yivava. Yivava generally is the Kol that Yimah has Rosh Hashanah. What? That's associated with the, correct, with the Shvarim. Okay, I don't know. It's not, in the text, it's unclear.
And you shall Shavuot by Yeshua.
Right, yes. Here in the Shavuot, that's right.
Wouldn't
it have been mention of a particular
Tzaka.
Tzaka. Okay, it's very possible.
But there's a difference between Tzaka and Tzaka, no?
I know where it is or not. It's not much different because the Plishtim don't even know what it is.
Well, they do. They say, what's this Torah, no?
We'll come to that in a moment. It's not even clear. Even their reaction. Okay, let's just read the Pasuk. But one thing is very clear, that Tzaka Hashem has to be Midakiyat Shuvah. And here, that's not what's happening at all. You don't see any indication, any remembrance to it. If anything, they're just going to rely on their Hashem and hope that Hashem will not give them over in the hands of the Plishtim. And as I said, that really just compounded the felony.
Maybe that's bad for White Store, because all the way in Sefer Shoftim we had Zaka and Saka, which
right.
was a genuine killer.
We actually spoke about the distinction between the two.
Yeah.
At one time, your memory is absolutely beyond belief.
all those years ago. I only have a few psukim to learn every week.
She reminds me of that all the time.
we
move at the pace of...
I won't be here, right?
So just continuing. Vayishmu plishtim et kol ha'truah, vayomru me kol ha'truah gdola hazot b'machane ha'evrim. Vayidu ki yaro Hashem ba'el ha'machane. Now this is very fascinating. How do they know this? On what basis? Because they hear a Tuvah Gdola, all of a sudden they conclude that Aron Hashem Ba'al HaMachaneh. And not only that, the next pasuk is more striking to me in many respects. Vayu'ah Plishtim, Ki Amru, Ba'al Elohim El HaMachaneh. Vayomru Oy Lanu, Ki Lo Hayta Kazot Et Mol Shel Shom. Oy Lanu, Mi Yatzilei V'Miyar HaElohim Adurim Eila. Eilaim HaElohim HaMakim Et Nitzrayim B'chol Makav HaMidbar. They're standing the action. So firstly, the Plishtim who are of the Avodah Zarah, the only thing they recognize are Elilim. That's all they, their entire recognition is essentially Elilim, Bidmut HaGuf, all kinds of Tzlamim, all kinds of Tzalim. That's their entire contact with the godliness, if you will, the Havdil. And when they see something they never saw before, and apparently one has to assume that they actually, there was some sighting on their part. Is what did they see? Perhaps they saw the Kruvim
right.
and the Aron HaKodesh.
I mean, that's so even more so.
Or they thought that the Aron itself was...
Right.
Or the Aron itself, perhaps.
That's it. Right.
That's why it was a doubly horrible thing that the Jews...
That's right, that's correct.
The Chilul exactly. Hashem.
100%. Is that what I was getting to?
Right.
You know, this compounds it only.
That's right.
And here they are the ones who have to, shall we say, provide the recognition that whom is this? It's not the Aron HaKodesh, but
right.
they see in it the Dvut of HaKodesh Yisrael.
Right.
And look at the language they use to describe.
Right.
The language is very, as I said, very graphic. Number one, Vayidu ki Aron Hashem ba'al ha'machaneh. Furthermore, Vay Elokim al ha'machaneh. Furthermore, Oy lonu, Oy mi yatzin mi yadu Elokim adirim eilu, Elohim Elokim. They clearly recognize who's behind this and what's involved. And something that we don't recognize, they do recognize. And that's what the guy pointed out, that you have here a tremendous school of Hashem. Unbelievable.
But it's compounded because they lose.
Correct. Okay. That's unquestionable. But the fact is that they recognize the Gura, and they even notice the historical playback. Now they, in effect, remember from the time that Am Yisrael left Mitzrayim, and that's what they refer to in Pasuk Chet. They remember Chil Ochaz Yoshe Plashet. We say it actually in the Az Yashir. I mean, that fear that they were seized with. And that pachad apparently is still with them. Matter of fact, the Rishonim talk a lot about the pachad, that the fear, it was almost a convulsion. It was seized with convulsions, the umot ha'olam, in terms of, in the wake of that event, in the wake of those events, not just the correct opposite of the law, but that, here specifically about plishtim chil ochaz yoshe plashet. The word chil, by the way, is different than the word pachad. There are already different terms that describe different types of fear. But chil, for example, you have in Yeshayahu, chil kayol edah. A woman who's in the process of giving birth, this is your field. Chil actually is almost, I would say, a primal kind of fear, a visceral kind of fear. It's different than pachad. And here there's, because we have also the other expression, aim of a pachad. So Rashi, mm-hmm. in general, Tanakh, Rashi contends that one of them refers to a fear which is further away, and pachad is already an immediate kind of fear. Let's say a horse that is galloping along on its merry way, and suddenly the horse realizes there is a precipice in front of it. So that's pachad. That's a kind of, but chil apparently perhaps is even more chamor than eim b'la pachad.
Pachad is more intellectual now, and chil is
right.
More.
That's really what we assume. One is more. One is
an instinctive.
Correct. Yeah. One is an instinctive kind of reaction, and one is more intellectual. That's correct, 100%. There are many proofs of that. That I brought in by the Pashto Yamikai.
You also have Namogu, which is another word which you'll find.
Which is found in Yoshua,
and
also over there. Namogu to Yoshua Kedah, excellent. It's not found both times in the same context.
Yes.
Namogu to Yoshua Aritz Mitehem. By Rachab Azonai, you see it's over Yoshua, and also Pashto that we're familiar with. And there it means literally, the way it's translated, almost as if they melted away. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a kind of meltdown, as it were. So here also you see that they recognize the Koach Nigurav of Israel. And this goes back to what we're talking about 400 years ago. We're not discussing recent history. We're describing history which goes back, and the nisim that occurred then, and somehow the zecha, that tachad, continues somehow to echo, to percolate.
They're referring to Hashem in the plural also.
Yeah, and we come to that also. That's a Rishonim talk a lot about it here. Why is that, by the way? What's the time for the description of Hashem, the Lashon Rabin?
That's how they
understand
themselves.
First of all, they have many gods.
Right.
Or many psalim, or many slumim, as we'll see in a moment, as far as the Plishtim are concerned. But in general, the distinction between the way the Shulchan Aruch defines the Shem Elohim, as we have it in Shulchan Aruch, let's say, as opposed to Yudke Vavke, Elohim is Baal HaKochot Kulam. Mm-hmm. And Hashem, the confluence of all Kochot, come together in Hashem. That's why it's Lashon Rabin. Mm-hmm. As opposed to, for example, you have the word El, which is also found in Tanakh, Harare El, you also have Yeshla El Yadi, Vasot Yimachem Ra. Velohe Avichem, Emesh, Amar Elai Lemor, Hisham and Machab Tent, Tabeim Yaakov, Mitov Adla. When the Malach actually appeared. But the word El refers to Koach, and Elohim, of course, is Hashem, is Balak Achot Kulam. Mm-hmm. Primarily, the Ramban writes in Chumash Kesey, the Ramban says that Elohim represents Hashem operating in Tema. Elohim is Midatadi, meaning when the Ramban puts it so succinctly, a tree that does not undergo photosynthesis is going to die. Mm-hmm. Because that's Chukia Teva. Mm-hmm. There are laws, that immutable laws of nature that are going to built into the natural course of events, and these laws have to be obeyed. These laws cannot be in any way, cannot be violated. Okay, that's the language of Elohim. Because what we see here, and what's fascinating to me, is now the following Pasuk, Pasuk Tet. In light of the what seems to be a major pachad attack, if you will. Mm-hmm. Now the following plishtim, now we have the following statement. Hitchasku, v'yu anashim plishtim, pen ta'abdu la'ivrim, kasher abdu lachem, v'yitem anashim, v'nilchamtem. How do you explain this particular pasuk? It means, gird your loins, as it were, be a man, or be men, and take on this mighty foe. But in light of what they said previously, they're speaking about a God who's invincible. So how do you explain this pasuk? How do they possibly even conceive of somehow prevailing, being victorious over the forces that obviously will line up against them? And we'll see in a moment, of course, unfortunately, the makam that took place, the mapala, that is unbelievable. The second we mentioned already is considerably worse than the first. Notice that the first time, we already noted this last week, the first time when the Navi described the loss of 4,000 soldiers, so there it simply mentions and their reaction, why did this happen? The second time around, as we'll see in a second, let's read a bit further in Pasuk Yud. Notice before it said, here the language is, but not just that. Vayanusu Yisraelav, Vatiya Makad Dolamod, and Vayipom Yisrael Shoshinav Ravli. And as the Mishnah writes in Masechet Sota, Tchilat, the Mishnah says, Tchilat, how does the language go? Tchilat Bricha Nisa. When is the beginning of the downfall? When you begin to run. And here we see already the second, which of course had terribly tragic consequences way beyond the first. We're talking about 30,000 foot soldiers that lost their lives, described in the Pasuk Yud, and the Makkah was obviously Makkah Govamo. But as we'll see in a moment, this really was not Mikoach Gura Plishtim. It was clearly, as we mentioned last week, we discussed, there was a punishment, and this was a punishment for what? the punishment was primarily for the behavior of the children of Eliyahu, according to Chazal, according to Midrash, which is rather a steep punishment, to say the least. And we mentioned, if you recall, in the context of the previous perek, how Chazal see this notion, how they see this idea, because the two children of Eliyahu Kohen come to the fore in the end of perek bet, and a number of other times it seems to be very much out of context. Apparently they are the source, because they were not chastised, they were not their activities continued, and they continued apparently without any effort whatsoever, neither the part of Eliyahu Kohen nor the part of anyone else, to hinder the kind of behavior they were engaged in. They were engaged in the way we described these own Kadashim and many other, especially Ben Adam HaVeiro, that seems to be the major area of transgression. Anyone else continue over here?
The word makah, does it have a connotation of punishment in it? Because we also had that, the Plishkin said about Mitzrayim. Which is strange anyway, because there was only one makah in the Midbar anyway. We're talking about the Esra Makot, presumably. We're talking about the drowning of the Mitzrayim, right?
Well, the question is, what exactly is that pasuk referring to?
Yeah.
Is it referring to pasuk, which one is it again? Pasuk Tet. So the Radak, I think we shouldn't generally assume it refers to all the Makot, if I'm not mistaken. Because the language here is, it says, Eila Heidwa Elokim HaMakim Et Mitzrayim B'chol Makah B'Midbar. Okay, is that B'chol? But what's B'chol Makah? Mm-hmm. So Rashi says, Kol Makot She'ayu Lo Al Mitzrayim Heviyam. Eila Od Makah Me'ata. The Radak also seems to assume they're referring to the Eser Makot, those that were brought on the Mitzrayim, Ushar HaMakot. Okay, and the problem right here, the Radak is concerned about the problem. The issue of the Midbar. So the Radak says, Ushar makot kalei al amod b'midbar. Ein maka'o me'ata. Amad al HaKadosh Baruch Hu, atem omim she'en li maka'o, ani in midi avichem maka'a shulo v'yeta mi'olah. Means he told the Plishtim, you think that that's it. There are no other makot. I will show you what a maka'a is. So the Radak quotes the Midrash Chazal, and we'll see the particular Yisurim that they were afflicted with at the moment. I think also the other Rishonim assume that as well. So you're understanding Midbar Lufi Apshat, which is Midbar Yam Suf. I assume that
not Midbar.
At least that's what you're referring to. Not
yeah,
Midbar.
Yeah.
Okay, I hear that. I see also the way the Targum here translates. He translates Lamei Yisrael Avat Prishan B'Midbara. That he understands like this. Hamakim et Mitzrayim B'chol Makah refers to Esa Makot, and the second part of the Pasuk, namely, that which refers to the Midbar, is already the sin that Hashem did for Amisrael. Because he separates the Pasuk into two. Mm-hmm. He divides it into two segments. One segment relates to the Mitzrayim, and the other, Bamidbar, refers to the sin that Hashem wrought on behalf of Amisrael. That's how this is from the Pashtunei Mikra, Rav Yosef Krat. And also,
at
the Targum.
We'll look at the Mitzrayim.
That's how they understand the Pasuk. This basically... Okay, but the difficulty I see. The Kitzur.
Can I just think, does anybody discuss the philosophical side of Hashem? Once the Aaron's there, basically, the Jews losing the war, but tremendously. Before they didn't take the Aaron, 4,000 died. Now they take the Aaron, and 30,000 die. What type of a chilul Hashem this presents? Doesn't it totally lower the koach of Hashem in the eyes of the goyim? Doesn't it really address that at all?
In the eyes of the Jews. Imagine if it happened now.
The Jews apparently had their own issues going in.
Mm-hmm.
The Plishtim were petrified, right?
Yeah.
And then they
were saying it defeats the purpose of the...
But even more so.
It did what I did to us, which was show our vulnerability.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. I didn't see them in the Pashto Amikra. They generally won't deal with this kind of an issue. That's not their...
Well, Hashem is interested in punishing Bnei Yisrael.
Ibn Ezra, perhaps. And Ramban also in his Perush Shal Torah. But here among the Pashto Amikra, the only one who might deal with it is the Radak. And I don't recall. I'll have to look carefully to see what the Radak deals with it. Okay, I will. Na'ayin Bazen. Okay, so now I just also want to, again, point out, even though this we already covered, but we'll just read the psukim carefully. Ba'aron Elokim Nilkach, Ushnei Bnei Eli Meitu Chofiyu Pinchas. Now, it's very striking. Is again, we already have discussed this a number of times in terms of the Seder Avarim, which is the central component here, which component is secondary or tertiary, and of course we mentioned it both in terms of what happened subsequently with Eli HaKohen, when you heard about the Aron HaLakim, then we just read the psukim, so we'll see that actually in a more in a clearer kind of way. Here, of course, Eli is waiting for the results, the Tatsa'od of Milchama. But as we already have noted a number of times, what is his primary fear? The primary concern he has is with the Aron HaLakim, because he felt somehow achrayut, he felt responsibility for the Aron HaLakim more than anything else. Even though undoubtedly he was chared on Israel, the Albanav, undoubtedly he was concerned about his children and about the welfare of the soldiers in battle. So the pasuk says, "Vayaratz ish Binyamin me'amaracha." By the way, according to Chazal, who was this person? Ish Binyamin, Shaul HaMelech. It's a Midrash. Midrash Chazal. Very fascinating. Midrash Chazal. The Midrash even says that Bayarat Ne'amaracha, that he ran Shishin Mil. He ran from Eben HaEzer, from that spot, which probably, by the way, from what I was told this week by a professor of Tanakh, it's a discussion with him on where Eben HaEzer exactly is. He identifies it as Yom Petach Tikva today. So to go from Eben HaEzer to Shiloh is, Midrash says it's Shishim Mil, what's the distance? I imagine it's a fair number of kilometers. He ran that day, and apparently what he heard, according to Midrash, he heard that the Luchot were taken, and he grabbed, this is the Midrash, he grabbed the Luchot from whom? Goliath. So the Midrash has Goliath in here as well, and he came to Shiloh. Whatever the case is,
aren't they always looked at somebody who gives bad tidings? That's kind of a negative. Somebody rushes to give bad news. That's
but again, here I would say that if you examine the psukim, on the contrary, here I see a major effort on the part of Shaul to present the information and present the news in a fashion that would be as soft as possible. He was looking for a soft landing. And that's what I want to stress over here. Vayaratz ish binyamin ma'amaracha, vayabo shilo b'alem ha'u, u'madav purim, madama u'roshon. By the way, if you remember, how is he described? Shaul HaMelech, maybe it's good I just to see a bit, one description. Correct. Just look at Peretet for a moment. I mean, where did Chazal see this? Again, the Fiyah Pshah, I'm not going to tell you this. But the Fiyah Midrash, in Peretet, Pasuk Aleph, and Mr. Hashem will be speaking a lot about him. Vayhi ish mi bin yamin, ushmo kish ben aviel ben tzroa ben chovat, ben afiach, ben ish yamini gibor chayu. Velo haya ben ushmo shaul bachul vatov, ve'ein ish mi bin yisrael tov vimeno. Striking pasuk. Mi shechmo vamala, gavoa mikola. I mean, so clearly he's someone who's about omets, gibor chayu. He's a courageous, valorous kind of person. Chazal even describe him, they use the pasuk, min nisharim kalu, ma'arayot gaveru, I'm sorry, I missed that.
He's tall.
Correct.
Tall enough to grab him.
Anyway, he's the only one, Kanivet, who is able to, literally, according to the Midrash, he was Moser Nefesh to save the Luchot HaBrit from the Plishtim, when essentially, where is Klal Yisrael? Klal Yisrael is in the process of Vayanusu. They're running for their lives. Mm-hmm. So that's what I think what the Tosfos is trying to stress. And here you have, okay, Vayaret ish bin yamin me'amaracha, ve'yavo shiloh v'yom ahu, u'madav kruim, v'adama rosha. And one actually now can begin to sense the charada of Eli HaKohen. And the Tosfos tells us, Vayavo b'ne Eli yoshev al kisei. Now this language is interesting. The kri and the ktiv. The ktiv, of course, says over here, Yach, Derech Nitzapeh. The way the Targum translates, difficult word to translate, Haderech Hasluva Vakusha. The Radak here translates that he was absolutely beside himself over the Aron HaLakim, but the Kri, on the side of you see, is Yad. Eli Yoshiva Abisei, Yad Derech Mitzapeh. The Kri actually is the Pshuto Shel Mikra, which means that he was waiting apparently Al Yad HaDerech. That's the assumption. He was somehow waiting at the crossroads. He was waiting expectantly. There was a tremendous sense of apprehension that he had. And by the way, perhaps one could see it, even though that particular... See, I saw the Targum adds one word here. Hashar. Means as if he was waiting by the gate. He was waiting at the entrance, as it were, to Shibo, because of the fear that he had. And the truth of the matter is, how does he know that? If you look a bit later, because Pasuk Yitzchak tells us when finally Shaul, or whoever the Binyamin was, mentioned what happened, it says, mm-hmm. So the Targum apparently understood that that's where he was sitting. He was waiting expectantly for news, for tidings of what happened. Now back to this Pasuk. Ki hayali bo chared, Pasuk Kedjimu, hayali bo chared al avod elokim. And again, this we already discussed twice, so I mentioned again, in the Seder Adifuyot, what was the primary, or the preeminent concern that he had, the way the Pasuk says very clearly, avod elokim. Va'ish bava hagid ba'ir, va'tizak kol ha'ir. Also a very striking Pasuk. What exactly is this Zaka all about, clearly? And as a result of hearing the tidings that were absolutely mizazea from every standpoint, Vayishma Eli et kol ha-tzaka, Vayomer me kol heramon hazeh. Eli is not able to see, Eli is blind, and so therefore he's simply, based on the sense that he has, namely hearing, he realizes that it's not a kol ha-tzachon. It's not a call of victory by any means. And the response, ne kol hehamun hazeh.
There are so many different words for the shouts.
Oh, okay. Correct. Mm-hmm. Notice that tizak kol hehir, and then tzaka, and then ne kol hehamun hazeh.
And we already had the trua.
Correct. Ba'ish mihar bayavo ve'agir le'eli. Now, don't forget, he doesn't see the person, and he doesn't also see that Adama Rosho and Madav Kurim doesn't see any of that. Mm-hmm. And notice that the person realizes, sensing that he has to quickly convey this information to Eli, but notice how he does it. And notice what the Pasuk tells us first. Eli bet 98 shana, ve'inav kama, v'lo yechol lirot. He was blind, he was obviously frail, he was fragile, he was weak, he was elderly, he was infirm. The Pasuk Dafka describes it at this juncture. Vayome ha'ish el Eli. Anochi haba min ha'maracha. Look how he presents it. He presents himself, doesn't mention a word about the catastrophe. Simply, Anochi ba min hamaracha. Continuing, Shlav Bet, I would say, Va'ani min hamaracha nasli hayom, which implies that he was kimat the only one shenas, or the one of the few, shall we say, that succeeded in escaping. But Eli has no patience and is not ready to, shall we say, listen to a lengthy peroration. And he says to him, Bayomer, me hayad avavini. Tell me exactly what happened. Bayan ha-mivaser bayomer. In the language of mivaser. Generally speaking, mivaser in Tanakh, generally associated with what kind of besorot? Besorot. Besorot. No question about it. Kol mivaser mam. That's what they, I don't know why I'm thinking of that. That's certainly, by the way, also besorot tovot, the Hoshana Rabbah, with the beating of those, of the Hoshana. But I'm speaking, the pasuk in you have
something about Sari Yaakov that you'll see.
Yeah, but the language I'm talking about this particular verb. You have the Tanakh Yishayo. That's where you see it. Nevaser Tov, Mashmir Yeshua, Omer Letzion, Molachel Kayach. Many pasukim like that in Tanakh, or by Nevaseret. There also you have the language of Nevaser. Always a language of Geula, a language of redemption, a language of, as you said, Sarot Chiviot. And here we have something radically different. Vayanam vaser vayomer, nas Yisrael lefnei plishtim, yigam magifa yidola hayta ba'am. Notice how he presents it. Again, he doesn't right away tell Eli that there was a makam dola, but rather he says first, nas Yisrael lefnei plishtim.
Least to worst.
Correct. He's literally menhakal lakaben. He's going from the least to the worst, as guy said. Yigam magifa yidola hayta ba'am, also a magifa, means again, that's a besorah, which is, and so in that sense, I want to explain the term mevaser, because otherwise I have difficulty, since generally in Tanakh, mevaser always refers to negative tidings, but here it's being done, as I said, as the guy pointed out, v'nachal v'kavei. And furthermore, v'gam shnei banecha beitu, chofni u'pinchas. And apparently that's not yet the kavei.
Mm-hmm.
Eli is prepared for that. Why is he prepared for that? Because he already knows that that's going to happen. That was already in Perek Vet. We mentioned that where Pasuk was that. In Perek Vet, we had it. Pasuk Lamed Dalit, it was already told. V'zelcha ha'ot ha'shi yavor shnei banecha l'chofni u'pinchas. V'yom echad yamudu shneim. So that's not something which is chadashot to him, which is new to him. And only at the end, after he hears all the besurot, and then he hears Va'aron Elokim Nilkacha, at that moment, basically, it's over. Va'yihi kaspirot Aron Elokim, va'yipol v'nal kisei achoranit, v'yaya hashar v'tishaveh mafrakto v'yamot. Ki zaken ha'ish v'chadeh, v'hu shafat et Yisrael 40 shana. And it's really an amazing thing. This week, as I said, we discussed this already a number of times. My initial reaction to this, many years ago again, was it's amazing that he should just react to the Aron Elokim and not to Chafni Pinchas, but as you answered and correctly, and he was already aware of that piece of information. So even though certainly it was a terrible tragedy, but not so much over his children, was he bitragesh, but the itrakshut is essentially, I would say, for the kishalom, having to do with Mishmeret HaKodesh, with the Galut of Kvod HaShchina, and that simply was such a zazua for him that he falls back, and Bati Shavei Matfakto, Vayomot, essentially he broke his neck. Ki Zakein HaIsh V'Kavei, Yuh Shafat in Yisrael, 40 Shana. By the way, this is very common in both in Sefer Melachim, and Sefer Shmuel, and Sefer Shoftim. We constantly see this, the moment that the death of a particular Shofet, when Madig is reported, by the way, we have a chronological statement in terms of how many years he reigned, what was the extent of his malchut. But here we have the period of Arba'im Shana with the death of 34,000 soldiers. And furthermore, the Aron Hashevi in captivity. Furthermore, Churban Mishkan Shiloh. And we have a number of factors that came together. And actually, Chazal already comments. Chazal say, Shemet Eliya Kohen, Chazal Shiloh. Chazal always identify these two events as being almost merging together, namely the death of Eli HaKohen and the Churban Shiloh. If I'm not mistaken, I believe even in Shulchan Aruch you have actually a reference to this. There's a siman, Tov Kuf Pei, that talks about different red letter dates in Jewish history, and among them is mentioned this particular date, namely the 10th of Iyar, Asara B'Iyar, where Eli HaKohen died and his two children, the Aron HaBrit, was taken to captivity, and the Churban of Mishkan Shiloh.
Why? Why didn't they bring the Aaron back to Shiloh? Why was it so necessary that there was, meaning Shiloh wasn't involved in the Milchama, right? It was captured.
No, but I would say the
understood.
Maybe there were too many negative connotations with the place.
So it's not that they moved it to
Shiloh
later on.
Right.
That's it. That's the end of the Mishkan.
Right.
Why? What happened to it?
I would say probably in terms of its impact, in terms of its significance. I mean, at this point, really, with the death of Eli HaKohen and the death of the two children of Eli HaKohen, you're saying they should have been resuscitated. Or
the Aaron doesn't stay away for that long,
right? Mm-hmm. Even though that is true, but apparently this represents a I would say, in some respects, the end of the Tkufa.
Mm-hmm.
Because right after this, as you know, we have Shmuel, who serves, if you will, in the interim, both as a Shofet, as a Navi, as a Manig, but he essentially is the bridge to that which follows, namely Malchut.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole notion of kingship and that different type of hegemony that then becomes the...
But Shmuel was in Shiloh.
So it's true. Shmuel, but although not necessarily, because the way Shmuel is described, as you know, the way the Navi describes the greatness of Shmuel, and the way Chazal describes it, namely in Pasuk in Perek Zayin, the end of Perek Zayin, we have the greatness of Shmuel was the fact that we survived. That Shmuel actually lives in the language. Here it is, the end of Perek Zayin. Vayishmot Shmuel b'Yisrael kol yom echayah, v'alach midei shana b'shana, v'sabah beit el, v'agilav ha'mitzvah, Shabbat Yisrael and Kol Mekomot Ha'Evod. His greatness was that he was in contact with the people. That he was in direct contact with them, that he was intimately involved with them. U'tshuvato haramatik sham beito, v'sham shafat Yisrael, v'yved sham yisbeach Hashem. It could very well be that maybe this also might be a response to your question, namely that what was required here was not two individuals who were distant from the Am, which apparently there was, at least towards the end anyway, as far as Shiloh is concerned, that's what you see, as far as Tafni Pinchas. And the concerns that they have, of course, were more of a personal, selfish nature, as opposed to concern with Am Yisrael, with Klal Yisrael. And to a large extent, the Mishkan that has that type of focus is clearly Lo Beseder. And the Shmuel is the tikkun for that in many, many respects.
First Chabadnik.
I'm sorry?
First Chabadnik, going after the people. Loved it.
Okay. We just let it at that. okay, so let's just finish the psukim over here now. And then we have again another tragedy. We have a child that's born to the house of Eli. And by the way, you are right, see, because the children of Eli continue to actually serve in the Kunak Dola, namely in Nov, in Givon. So actually there's still some continuation. I don't know how many more years, we're talking about another 57 years or so, if I'm not mistaken, approximately, that they continue to have a Hemshech till the Binyan Beit HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. Mm-hmm. I think it's approximately 57 years, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. Make the calculations over here. But it's interesting that the child that's born is the, as it were, Shirayim, the Beit Eli, if I could use that term. And here the language is, in Pasuk Yutet, the Kalato Eshet Pinchas, Hara Lalat, Batishma et Hashmua, El Hilokach Aron Elokim, Umbet Chamiya Bishar. You have to point it out, the Seder here. First, Hilokach Aron Elokim, and then Beit Chamiya, and then Beit Isha, then her husband. And again, the Seder Abraham, so it could be here it's Min HaKaven Elokach, in some respect. Batichwa Batelet, Kinechu Aleha Sireha. Uchein Muta. We already mentioned, and this we spent a fair amount of time, we compared this to Rachel, if you recall, similar psukim that we find there. Ukeid muta v'tadaberna nitzavot aleha. Maybe these are the first labor cultures. V'tadaberna nitzavot aleha. Al tiri, I just couldn't resist that.
Okay.
Al tiri kiveg delalt, v'lo anta, v'lo shat aliba.
Right.
So where's the nechama over here? Al tiri ki ben galat, v'lo ranta v'lo shata liba, v'tikwa l'anar icha bo demor galach habo b'Yisrael, el yilakach aron ve'elokim, v'yelchabia v'isha. That omer, galach habo b'Yisrael, ki nilkach aron ve'elokim. So what is very fascinating to me is that here she's on the verge of death, and she knows of the terrible asom that occurred to her family, and to all Beit Yisrael, and there's no question that the fear of the Plishtim is still upon them. Achev adayin shlufa kinagdam, and here she's about to die, and what happens? Lo shata liba, the pasuk says, below anta. She realized that she was, as I said, on the verge of death. Her demise was imminent. And yet the shame that she called the child Ikabod, so apparently that itself is very striking that she has the presence of mind at this moment to call the child, to confer a name upon the child, which essentially is very pregnant. It's very saturated with meaning because she herself, as the Pasuk says, Galak Kabod Nisrael. Means, as you described it earlier, Achil Hashem. And she sees that at the moment of death, at the moment of the birth of this child. And perhaps one could also see in the language of Ikavod that this is also an indictment of Am Yisrael in terms of their behavior, both in terms of Mishkan Shiloh, in terms of Chavni Pinchas. I mean, there could be a number of smalim that perhaps are embedded in the Chuban of Shiloh and in the death of this particular woman, whom the David does not identify, but we only know she's the daughter of Pinchas. That's what we are told. And one could very well, it's interesting because One could have seen the Asom simply as a personal one. She doesn't look at it that way. She sees here a national Asom, a national calamity. Galak Avon Yisrael.
Does anybody say that maybe that's why Eli died also? Like that it wasn't just the Pratim, that it's like he understood all at once, like, this is what it came to, and this was in some way my fault, or my, you know, whatever, like that he, you know, it was his sons, and his not doing anything about it.
Nafshon could say that. I mean, again, I think the way we have discussed in the past doesn't seem that Eli is as culpable, although there is certainly some culpability that clearly lies with him. As I mentioned, I'm very careful regarding the outside, since he's from the...
But even if it's not for us to judge, even maybe he felt that way. Maybe he felt the achrayut.
There's no question. I think that is correct. I think that achrayut certainly he felt on his shoulders. The Radak here, and I saw the Radak and the Abavanel. See, they're focused on the last pasuk. Batome galak avon Yisrael ki nukach avon Elokim. Radak writes over here, ki hu ikach avon. Somehow there's a sense here that it's not. It's not simply, as I said, a personal loss, but it's much more than that. I mean, it's basically, we're talking about the Galut of Kvar HaShchinah. I think what Guy said before is definitely correct. Namely, there's no longer Hashvat HaShchinah. We have El HaKhil HaShem. We have to deal with the issue you raised. I'm not sure if the... I don't think the Pashem would be proud to deal with it as well. As I said, there's no Latin line to deal with that kind of issue. Okay, maybe we'll just go a bit further. Maybe we'll... just take one other comment, perhaps, since I see there's a... New Perek. I thought I saw. Where's the Abavanel over here? See, he has a lengthy discussion. Kedaka Bakodesh. He's so marished at Abavanel. You have to have a lot of patience there, but really, it's very worthwhile. I maintain that Rafi Al Yudati, he may be the most comprehensive parsha in Tanakh. I can say this to you all the time. He raises all the issues. There's no issue the man does not raise. Mm-hmm. And he also has some very ingenious, very original chidushim mekoriim, the way he deals with things. The only problem is you lose sight of the trees from the forest because you have to go through 100 questions and then you have to figure out where are the answers to all these 100 questions, which he doesn't tell you. You have to somehow work through the entire maze that he presents. And he has lengthy essays. But he also here deals with the same issue as far as the nature of the calamity, and he spends a lot of time. I think he really has the best presentation regarding the Aron HaKodesh and their complete and total misunderstanding of the view of the Aron HaKodesh, how they saw it, and also some of the diukim that we made last week. I mentioned, if you recall, Derek Dallin, how the Aron is described. Aron Brit Hashem, a number of times. Aron Brit Elohim. Aron Brit Hashem. But Whom are the individuals who describe in such a fashion? The Plishtim. The Abavel is the one who knows this. The Plishtim are the ones who see the Aron as being the Aron Brit Hashem, the Aron Elohim. We don't see it. We see an Aron HaKodesh. Mm-hmm. We mean Klal Yisrael. Mm-hmm. And they are the ones who focus, again, if you look even in the Parakeh, you see the same thing, Aron Elohim, Aron Hashem, and somehow Klal Yisrael sees it as simply an Aron without the Ribono Shel Olam, the Achrei Advarim. As an astounding. Now, that, the diuk is not completely in order, because there are exceptions, as you know. The only klal is that there is no klal. There are always exceptions, the yotzim and klal. But he has diukim and the psukim, because they constantly speak about, if you the plishtim speak about Aron and okay Yisrael. If you look, for example, in Perek, maybe we'll discuss it in Hashem, Perek, Pasuk, Chet, Tet, Seder, they speak about Aron and Elokei Yisrael. They're the ones who identify the Aron with Elokei Yisrael. As I mentioned before, they seem to be the ones who have a better sense of what's happening here than Klal Yisrael. Okay, together we will continue with Perakei.
Where are the locals, Prince?
What?